and transported in a new truck. There's a possibility you have a rail at some time in the future if you do that and you can put that in the storage in the local community. And we have to put into a distribution system to take a quote to all of your customers. Also, just another way of looking at any disruption would be slowing down energy space supply out of the coconut area. But for the time, I think this RFP process would be more working with a potential partner off of the national. So, the issues in the RFP, we have to solicit a wide range of options, scopes. Small pipeline propane, we went through a network process, and then we're back down to natural gas. And so we, the crossroads is, as we came through a multi-step process, we narrowed the scope down to the local point of the salt and the spectrum. And then the partner of and that is CMX, which is a division of Avista. And this is also identity of AEMP, the local partnership here in the territory. At the March 3rd board meeting,
can you perhaps share some whatever details you can share about why CMX was chosen as a partner at this stage of the game? I think it would be helpful.
Mr. Chairman, I've got to finish with these slides. I've got a bunch of copy of information that was presented to the board. So at the March 3rd meeting, I'm going to see if I put in detailed information. So at the March 3rd board meeting, the presentation from the RFP selection committee was that we had more based on the two panelists previously, and the determination at that time was the recommendation to the board was that we continue to negotiate with CMX and to try and pay for that deal. And bring a full package back to the board for consideration. Just from the existing work we are right now with the distribution system in the interior, we are required to have PEX, which is the existing distribution system for the natural gas system. Also, over the last year, we have used some of the financing tools so that FMG can expand our existing system in anticipation of a larger gas supply to hook up more customers in the core of Fairbanks. Also, we're engineering a separate and utility section by the RCA out of the North Pole area, or North Pole, and sort of sweeping up around the core of Fairbanks to set zones to start building up our distribution system in anticipation of the gas supply. We have previously supplied three quarterly reports, and the first one was actually delivered to each of your offices electronically and to the Secretary of the CRD, which is part of the high school day. I have now a hard copy of that. It contains much of the information that is available to the board on March 3rd. So you've got this new quarterly report information that has been provided to the board over the last 3 months. And then just with regards to the timeline, this last one is shows the timeline that was presented to the board how we're going to advance the project over time. So that was generally if you could get to the memo that we need to be in the that is the memo for myself to the board of directors. This is just a quick overview, and then it gets into the IEP RFP Review Committee notes, and then on February 4th, should move forward with. All I'm going to work on now is really paying attention to the dates. You see that this evaluation committee met on the 4th, and I'm taking consideration some independent third-party analysis that might have been this. We included your pleasure case reports in a version of those reports that actually were attached to this mail for public distribution. There were some technical or confidential information that was redacted. The RDs did have the same date on the report, which is later in the month. I wanted to assure you that for the evaluation committee, they have the RDs report, you know, the one that's attached at a later date. Just because the two performers were allowed to identify any confidential information that they got from the DRB.
So you're referring to the updated 2.26 report, is that correct?
That's correct. It's on February 26th. Because we did that represent the public herself to be interested in the group party vote review of the proposal and we wanted to have to make just going back a step to the notes and the results of the 24th meeting, you can see sort of the layout of the review committee and the notes that were taken during that meeting. They sort of stepped through the process of evaluating the final proposal. And then eventually got to the unanimous consent of the CX. Was the project part of their work to move forward with?
Yes,
yes, the way that the process worked that day is all of the committee members independently were able to look at the latest information that's submitted by the two finalists. They were able to then review the salience review independently by the council meeting. They all sort of discussed where they were on selection. They got to discuss back and forth on what they thought were the most pertinent. So they took into consideration making the selection. Initially, there was a different opinion, but when they prepared notes and they got into a robust discussion about why individuals felt strong one way or another on the different the two drivers, ultimately, they had their same kind of mistakes. Beyond the notes that were taken that day, you can see we've got the overview agenda presented on page 6 of the school document. And then we actually get through to the 50-year reports on the two finalists. We think in the RDS report on sales, so that if you do, you would ask specifically about information on the request to the customer. And in fact, in Hospital 105, is where GAO requires that we actually ask the board to sanction a project moving forward. That is information we have displayed on page 12 of the overall document, and with the memo is actually page 5 and 6 of the CNX, the RPA's report on CNX. There's a paragraph there that says that it's entitled Detail on the Coalition of the Project Goals. In here, RPA's comes up with an estimation that for the size plant, the failure to propose operational costs, big fee that they would have on giving out a good year by LNG, that ultimately giving the price to an IDP customer to be $50.74 per MCF. The project funds on the IDP. IDP was $15. So we felt like we were within the range, and we felt like going forward with the negotiations, we were trying to get the CapEx cost down a little bit more. We were still negotiating for price of gas to feed the plant. I thought there were some opportunities there to get the price down, so we thought we were well within the ballpark of an acceptable range to meet IDP goals. But we do continue to try and bring up as high as far as possible.
So what if there's $6.50 something down? You're looking at the legal fraction, let's say 24 grand, or you're looking at $6 per gallon? Jeffrey, I've been operating.
to cover, or you're having smaller number of customers. And so, though that kind of dynamic also achieves it for the big share, I think it is fairly unanimous and easy decision for the group to make.
So, of course, let's continue to have a
second question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Turner, last week's announcement of Fairbank was an historic one. And as you look at the bill now in the North Carolina, do you have capacity maybe if this leasing increase of almost 4,000 people coming to the house in the North Carolina area? In contact with some people that, there's building room out there in the old area for residential housing, so I think we can get the capacity.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that we can. Certainly, we want as many customers as up to the existing pipes as quickly as possible. And I believe this part of the deal is that this bank can take that load. You should just and they can end up offering to just refresh those demand numbers with the expectations that there may be a spike in new construction, and new construction that wants to build itself sooner rather than later. We're not for gas, and maybe not have to go through that conversion process. But bank use does speak to the existing IGU pipes in the ground and the number of potential customers.
Mr. Gritton, did you hear us speak to this question?
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for the record. The entire gas building last year installed approximately 70 miles of distribution beams in the North Pole area, with, I believe, average approximately 2,000. Customers with that 70 miles of strength. The liquefaction facility being contemplated in the Cocaine Electric addition to the existing facility there today provides for an opportunity to serve approximately 4.5 BCF of customer demand in conjunction with a large storage facility. So I think the right demand is for banks close to 1 BCF, so we are looking at having a liquefaction resource capacity available to increase that substantially.
Thank you. So, just a little bit about 3.1 million of CapEx deals with credit similar to 70 million. CapEx is budgeted at 7.697. So that's a lot of tax when you take out the energy costs, it's about 4.6 million a year. Is that good? Sound? Estimate for Mr. Britton's liquefaction experience? Mr. Britton?
The numbers that you're looking at are a little high in comparison to our experience. We do have a high level of insurance costs associated with them. The capital expense that you were referring to is a little on the high side compared to where we're looking at the amount of payments. But based on our experience operating the existing facility, they're within range.
The only question I have is about final investment decision. The traditional source of RDA and energy is far below the prices that we're looking at. And we have a couple of questions. But they're apples to apples. What kind of influence does that have on your FID?
Mr. Chairman, that question. Right now, I feel well for $12 under $2. But the $15 market to deliver natural gas is not comparable to $2 fuel. So that's the quantity of certain natural gas. recently observed. Those numbers originally came from surveys with consumers, focus groups with consumers. It is a bit of social science, especially when you don't have part of this forcing people to look up. We're trying to incent people for the alternative areas of the food that will incent people. The component for the individual consumer to convert their home, their side of the meter, we know is critical. We have been working in the last year to try and identify the state government, state general fund sources of dollars that can be available at low interest rate and mechanisms that will be put in place to help the consumers. People with natural gas spread those costs over time so that even with the low cost of heating all the way down, the consumer will be cash positive or break even as they cover the cost of conversion. So we understand that the concern that the heating price is down right now. Certainly from the state's perspective, we hope the price of oil will back up and of course the price of heating fuel will go up too. We really look at this as a step in the community preparing itself to use natural gas long term. We're already hopeful that a pipeline does deliver gas across the state, or maybe it is that Doyle finds gas in their exploration in the Indiana area that could be available to the community. If either of those possibilities presented themselves tomorrow, the community just doesn't have the infrastructure in place to avail themselves of it. So, we really think that this is a bridge project. We're just not sure how long that bridge might have to be.
Yes. I'm talking about this in the past, that the EPA on the AM2.5 issue had is there any federal grant funding available that might help this project to be in a bridge phase?
There are, Mr. Chairman, one of them, the potential sources of money that we're trying to manage is as soon as the capacity was successful in the budget that was passed in the separate final budget, increased the existing EPA OSHAB non-attainment program that had typically been used in California for areas where they have problems with ozone. Some additional language, specific language, was added for areas that have AM2.5 non-attainment on a 24-hour basis. That I think is particularly useful for the very exceptional borough and perhaps even general or other communities in Alaska that have put 2.5 dollars a battery on a year-long basis. It's seasonal due to the inversion of water grants that we get. So, in the current version of motion, we had to plan a very competitive application to that group. The historic dollar amount for that grant was $10 million per year. Senator McCoskey was successful in getting that bumped up to $20 million. And so, the local DDC office will be working with the Greater Toronto Borough to try and access as much of that money as possible. We found out just recently that the borough would be able to put in a two-in-one application. The first could be to try and convert people's existing wood burning appliances to more efficient and clean burning. The second could be then to also access some of that money to help with conversion of existing heating to natural gas. And so we plan to be as aggressive as possible to apply for that priority.
That's exciting. So it's not what the DC anti-fossil fuel is looking at it for an hour to
get there. That's right. And answering your questions, we've also reviewed that potential $1 million, not $1 million, that specifically one of the programs that we looked at specifically talks about converting from one fuel source to another fuel source that is not only more fuel efficient, but cleaner source of fuel.
Let's see. I know I know we're doing without conversion because that comes down to this sort of age of the converting, right? If you have a decent enough and exactly your last course of the other thing to stay in your home, that becomes a lot more challenging when diesel prices come down. It's something that's out of the pants over a whole lot of money, and it's tough to estimate the conversion rate. And this definitely slows you down. It's a good thing.
today, it's tough to have an economic project. But it's certainly some of the mechanisms that we look at, keyed up right now in the House and Senate Finance Committee, hopefully we'll have it so to reduce some debt. So it deals with targeting business conversions, and it's like what we call base financing. We believe that we're all investment getting a single fund with that on the budget, and the base mechanism will help us to go through a competitive process of access to these federal funds that will be allowed to target businesses to promote to venture grants. The base mechanism attaches the repayment obligation to the property tax loan for business. So if you're a business owner, you know that you're going to be in that facility using that facility for the next 5 years, depending on what's up, that obligation then would go at point of sale to the new owner. Then they'd be up their portion of the conversion of that business, because now they're running into a business that is more fuel efficient.
That's a real success, I do. Some of the municipality of that level in those loans. We're in the same situation here.
So the third discussion, the base mechanism, is that it is a local government that does issue a property tax bill to work with a utility. When the loan loans out, the repayment comes back through a voluntary assessment that appears to say your different property. Goes back to the government that is pledged, those monies have to be transferred to the back loan.
It's called a program?
That is property assessed clean energy. It's a mechanism that is really being seen across the nation, somewhere in 30 different states and D.C., and how they want to get our proposed legislation to come in after the tax as well.
Any questions? I'm not saying Mr. Attorney, no, I certainly hope you are successful. I think it's a challenge for the conversion legislative technology price time an issue. But I'm sure you'll be doing your due diligence and taking this thing very seriously. And I certainly hope continue to produce producing. I would need to keep the prices where they are, but below, and that's a delicate balancing routine as well. So, if you have nothing else for us, we very much appreciate that. We wish you luck, and if there's anything that's in the way, we can support you as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, this quarterly update was available at the Zillow Bank for you just today.
Thank you. Questions and gentlemen on the line is the mayor on the line if I has a closing comment. Is this somebody here? Could you please I know I said that name wrong, I didn't know what particular name to hear, but if you can pronounce it for me. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. With that, Senator Energy is adjourned at 4:15.